And I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for May 1st, 2017 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hand?
Here.
Mrs. Hudson?
Here.
Mr. Lutke?
Here.
Mr. Mishka?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. Welcome to our council house tonight. We will move your item up as soon as I get to the agenda. But in the meantime, please join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, led this meeting by Mrs. Capalini.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda. I have no additions, but I would like to move Agenda Item 9 up and make it Agenda Item 4A. This is Sister City Appointment, Commission Appointments. Mrs. Westphal, any additions?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda Item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on April 17th. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the April 17th, 2017 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve those meeting minutes as submitted, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries and the April 17th meeting minutes are approved as submitted. Agenda Item 4A, which is Agenda Item 9, moved ahead, appointment of Sister City Commission members. We have with us tonight the current, or the immediately prior Sister City Commission Chair. That was our community Sister City. We don't have a Sister City in place to appoint a new chair yet, or to elect one. That would be Mr. John Bolster. But we also have the previous chairman, and that is Mike Lieber. These two gentlemen have obviously been very active in Sister City activities. They are both in Woodstock on a regular basis. And we also, I am appointing Jan Shear, who has worked with the Sister City Commission right from the start. And these are good appointments coming from me and from the city, and I request that you confirm these appointments tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would recommend the confirmation of appointment of Mr. John Bolster, Mr. Michael Lieber, and Mrs. Jan Shear to the Sister City Commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. Congratulations and thank you both for your willingness to continue to serve. I know that we need to get more commission members in place so that you can have a organizational meeting and get things underway as an official city commission. One of those appointments needs to be made by City Council. And Mr. Lutke, I don't know whether you want to have a meeting to do that, or there's a volunteer that you're willing to accept.
Let me do a little discovery on it. I don't think we want to do that tonight.
That's fine.
But we can certainly have that ready for the next meeting.
All right. I didn't hear any, see any hands go up right away.
Thus the time.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. There's your answer for tonight. You're welcome to stay or to take off. Your choice. Let's move back to our printed agenda, which would be printed, or Item Number 5, 2016 Sanitary Sewer Lining Project. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The sanitary sewer lining project, all of the work within the city has been completed. But if you recall, this was a joint project with the Lucas County Sanitary Engineers Office. There are still a couple items to go in their portion of the project. The change order that's before you tonight, all of this work is within the county system, and ultimately, they will be paying these costs. The contract, however, with the contractor is between the city and the contractor, so we have to take care of the formal paperwork for a change order. But at the end of the project, Lucas County Sanitary Engineers Office will reimburse us for these costs. So I would recommend approval. The county sanitary engineer has approved these work items, and we would recommend approval.
You do have in your council packet ordinance 38-2017 to approve this change order, which again, we are the contracting agency, so changes in the county pipes need to go through us, but this is not going to be a cost to the city of Sylvania. Mr. Mishka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 38-2017. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 2 to this city's agreement with Instuform Technologies USA LLC for the 2016 sanitary sewer lining project, which reflects the actual work performed on this project, increasing the contracted amount by $10,065.30, appropriating funds, therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 38-2017 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage?
I move final passage of ordinance number 38-2017.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 38-2017 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 38-2017 is approved. I think I want to bring council up to date just very broadly. We had another sewer project going on right now, and that was to investigate our large diameter sewer pipes inside the city of Sylvania. And the service director has reported to me that that work is also complete and that, yes, indeed, he has found some deteriorating pipe that's going to need to be either replaced or more likely lined, just like the project pipes we were talking about before. We do not have numbers on that. We are investigating it, but we will be back to you to take care of some of those projects as we move forward before they become unlinable. Is that accurate enough? I don't need any statistics right now other than to say that there are thousands of feet of them.
Yep.
And that's this year we'll do that?
No. Likely next year and yep. In the okay. Future. Yeah. We were fortunate enough that we didn't find anything that causes immediate concern of an immediate failure. But there are some things that we do need to take care of over the next 5 years or so.
So as whereas this was a county project, the next one will be our project. Okay. Let's move on to salt bids. I'm looking out the window, and it's really dark sky, and yet the sun is shining in. That's always interesting. But we do have to talk about salt bids for next winter season. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the current time, we only have space for about 600 ton in our two storage structures. Obviously, this past winter was a very mild winter, and we didn't use much salt, and so we don't have much space available. Because of that, and not knowing what next winter is going to be like, if we were to have another mild winter, we wouldn't have any space for salt. So we're going to, it's our recommendation to move forward with ODOT and intend to purchase 1,000 tons within their program. I find it extremely unlikely. I would imagine that we would use at least 400 ton next winter. If we have another mild winter, like we only used about 575 ton this past year. So wow. If we have another mild winter like that, we just don't have space.
How much did we use? Was it 2 years ago we had the crazy winter?
Yeah, we used right at 3,000 ton that year.
Okay.
Yeah. About 3 years ago, I think it was, Doug.
Was it 3 years ago?
Yeah. And that just shows how varied the winters can be. But so I would recommend moving forward, staying with the ODOT program, and intending to purchase 1,000 tons within that program.
And to be clear, this is a commitment to buy 1,000.
It's a commitment, yes.
You don't just say you might be interested, with ODOT, you're buying it.
Yep.
You're taking delivery of it.
I'm sorry, but I'm confused about the 600 tons. Does that mean you don't have enough storage for all of this? Can you help bring me up to speed on that?
No, right now we have 600 ton, and if, let's say we use none next year, we would have to find somebody to hold probably 400 ton of that.
Okay.
But likely we'll use 400 ton through the winter, so we don't have to take delivery of this 1,000 ton until March of 2018.
Okay.
So we can delay that delivery based on what the winter's doing.
Okay.
Can you remind us what the past history was like in terms of the pricing? Because I do remember that there was a dramatic increase and there were some shortages at a year that we needed to buy some, and I remember ODOT coming back and saying that they were going to change what people were committed to and things like that.
Yeah.
What's the pricing at right now, and is it in our favor to stock up like this?
It's anticipated that the prices are going to be low because no salt was used last year.
Because the demand is, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So it's anticipated prices are going to be low this year. And that's part of what I'd like to get.
Right.
I want to buy some.
Buy low.
At those low prices. But, yeah, a couple of years. This past year, it was down in the $42 a ton range. It's been up in the $67.
Right, okay.
So 2 years ago, people were buying imported salt
from
Portugal.
Morocco or Portugal,
something like that.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
It was coming in brown. It wasn't very good quality. We chose to stay out of that. Salt prices are about the most unpredictable thing that
right.
I've ever been involved in. And, it just,
the and there was a antitrust lawsuit a few years ago, more than two, but there was a big lawsuit over that as well because there was price fixing going on.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Okay. So we do have Ordinance 39-2017 to enter into this agreement to purchase 1,000 tons. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Ordinance Number 39-2017. All members of Council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance of the City of Sylvania, Ohio to enter into an agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation for the purchase of roadway de-icing salt, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 39-2017 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of Ordinance Number 39-2017.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 39-2017 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 39-2017 is approved. Agenda item 7 is the Memorandum of Understanding between Sylvania Township Board of Trustees and the City of Sylvania to provide a framework for fostering economic development through joint economic development districts, annexations, and other annexation agreements. This was negotiated through the second half of last year. It was referred to the Zoning and Annexation Committee, but we chose to leave it there while the township was considering it. We were pleased to see the township approved it at their last meeting. There was a vote change on there that was good to see. And I am now just bringing it back to your attention that it's still in your Zoning and Annexation Committee, Mr. Hanum, and no action to be tonight. I don't even think we have copies of it. Yes, we do. I do have copies of it to remind you of it. However, I am not pressing for it tonight. You may want to review it, talk to township trustees about it. The vote was 2-1, and there is not a lot of action. This is more a framework than an actual take steps agreement.
I would suggest that we have something coming forward, so schedule another Zoning Annexation Committee meeting and discuss it then.
Yes, we don't even need to refer it. It's already there.
Right.
You just need to schedule a meeting for it.
And I can do that.
Okay. Moving on to agenda item 8. This is to authorize your Director of Law to initiate a lawsuit against the state of Ohio regarding the unconstitutionality of the amendments to the Ohio Revised Code, Chapter 4939. This has to do with the location of cell phone towers, particularly the smaller ones that can be put right along in our right-of-way anywhere they want to do it by the new state law without permission or without any consideration to the city. You've probably read in the press that the city of Toledo has a lawsuit against this, as do the other major municipalities. This is a home rule issue as well as a cell tower location issue, and it is not our intent to pursue this individually. I'll let the law director say that, what her plans are.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's correct. We are actually going to be joining in Toledo's lawsuit with the cities of Maumee. Harrisburg is going to, I think, join with Bowling Green. But that's correct. These are this language to permit these small cell data tower companies to put these in just rights of way was added at the last minute to this bill that has nothing to do with utilities. And Mr. Fry is well aware of the utility issues in Ohio. So we would just request permission to join with Maumee in Toledo in pursuing the lawsuit.
This issue was also discussed at the recent board directors of Northwest Ohio Mayors and Managers Association, and there's very good possibility that other cities, home rule charter cities, will also be addressing this and joining Toledo as well. So I recommend ordinance 42017 to authorize this for both reasons. We don't want cell towers just nilly-willy around the town, but we need to defend home rule, no doubt about it.
We have a couple questions. Now, I read the city of Cleveland's complaint mm-hmm. on this, and I read the purpose of this is these are small cell facilities designed that are needed to create faster and higher capacity 5G networks. That's what I understand.
Correct.
How are they going to do this without this?
I'm not sure. The issue that the municipalities have is that the companies themselves get designated a utility by the PUCO.
Right.
That entitles them to use our rights-of-way and put them essentially anywhere. There have been, and in other parts of the country, these have also been being put up, the small cell data towers. Mr. Aller and I sat in on a webinar, and I didn't look at the legislation or how it was enacted in New York and Pennsylvania, but I think the municipalities in those states have greater authority to be able to request that they look certain ways, and we really have no authority to impose any sort of aesthetic condition on how they look. In New York City and in Philadelphia, they're not offensive looking at all.
Mm-hmm.
But this bill, this legislation as presented and passed, doesn't give our Ohio cities any authority to control how they look.
There are also safety issues involved. We want to be able to say, no, don't put it there. Put it 10 feet this way or something like that. So that it's not obstruction in traffic or going where we're going to put an improvement or something like that.
Right.
We need to have review authority on it. It isn't that we're going to block putting them in.
Right.
I also noticed that Chapter 4939 previously limited payphone locations, and the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that that did not violate, or that it did violate. No, that it did not violate home rule. I'm sorry, it did not violate home rule. It allowed the PUCO to regulate where they could put
payphones.
And municipalities had a lot of the same concerns with those.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we just want to be able to join in and assert our...
How much are we going to spend on this litigation?
Has gotten authority from her mayor and council to kind So, my time is going to be pretty limited.
We're not hiring outside counsel to do this. And the other things in Senate Bill 331, are any of those in the legislation? Because I know 331 was the, that's the one that had the, isn't that where the ban on local, local regulation of minimum wage, wasn't that?
Right.
In Senate Bill 331?
Right, so that is another area that we're...
Is that part of the litigation?
Only in as much as our contention is that Senate Bill 331 violates the one subject rule. So we're not looking to...
I forget what, I don't know.
...minimum wage, but it's just...
Yeah, I don't, what else was in 331? Was there anything? Are we actually challenging 331, or are we challenging 3949? 4939.
4939.
That's the chapter...
That's the chapter regarding small cell data towers. And the only challenge to Senate Bill 331 are those provisions that amend Chapter 4939.
Okay, what did the Ohio Municipal League do with this?
I mean,
we spent a lot of money on, we belong to that organization, and, you know, they really, I think, let us, there are a couple instances in which they've really let us down. One, I think they really let us down on the establishment of the minimum requirements for PERS. I think they really screwed our small cities by not going to bat for us. I don't know.
As of late last year, they are coming on strong right now.
Okay, good.
Because the old management was not getting it done. You're
this
exactly
is a
right.
Classic example of something that needs to be fixed in the legislature. I mean, I'm not confident at all about this litigation. Based upon the case law that I read about the pay phones, and the arguments were exactly the same, that we had municipal interest and it was home rule and we lost in the Ohio Supreme Court. This needs a I'm going to vote if we're not going to spend a lot of money to go forward with this, but. My point is that the likelihood that we're going to succeed with this litigation is not at all certain. And there's a good chance we could lose this, but we can fix this in the legislature. The kinds of requirements that you're talking about, you know, let's go to our state rep and Randy Gardner and say, hey, look, we're not interested in banning these, but we want to have a say in how they're regulated. That's rational, that's reasonable, and it's something that I think we ought to as a city, that's something we ought to pursue, because I'm not confident about this litigation based just upon literally about 20 minutes of looking into it.
Question. Is this currently, it looks to me like it's been authorized, so can they put these up now?
No, part of the lawsuit also requests a temporary injunction and restraining while the lawsuit is pending.
Okay.
So while it's pending.
And Mommy and Toledo have already advanced their counsel.
Toledo has already filed the lawsuit. We'll be joining with Mommy.
Okay.
Mommy and I will be joining the Toledo lawsuit at the same time.
Okay.
Did we already get the temporary injunction then?
No.
So then they could move forward.
That's okay.
Until that occurs.
Conceivably, yes. We haven't received any requests recently. We did receive one at the beginning of the year, and Mr. Allen and I met with them. But I don't.
I know the Cleveland lawsuit was filed March 20th.
Right, because they just went into effect March 31st.
So.
Can I ask a couple of questions, Kevin? I'm not sure how much you've looked into this, but is, I imagine the idea is that they have to achieve some measured density for where they put the antennas up and actually having more antennas so that they can oversubscribe and get more clients to connect and things like that. But what I'm looking at, because I have the internet, because there's towers all over the place, is they're just attaching them to existing poles that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that, that would, you know, if there's a pole there, they would attach them. But in areas where the power isn't run overhead, it, you know, if you were in a neighborhood, for example, if it were buried, what have they seen people doing? I mean, how are they achieving that and putting it up? Are they just putting poles up in people's yards or what?
Sign poles.
Yeah, they're using about anything and everything. In some areas, they're using traffic poles, traffic signal poles, if they're designed such to be able to support it. They're using light poles. Toledo Edison actually just fairly recently modified their position. Their initial position was that they had to stay off of light poles. Edison's now permitting them under certain circumstances, not anywhere and everywhere, but they have agreed to allow them to use those poles. And so it really comes down to what area are they trying to improve their service in, and what can they do?
And how many operators are we talking about? I mean, in our hospital, we do the same thing. We put their microcells in there, and we try to go after the two big carriers. So Verizon and AT&T are in there. Sprint's not, you know, but if they were, there'd be another antenna for Sprint. So, and when you do that, you have to space them apart because they can't be right next to each other. So if you had three poles in a row and you had three operators, I'd imagine that you'd have every pole would have an antenna on it.
Conceivably, that can
but be. I see that the term here is micro wireless. Is micro referring to the wireless or the provider being that it's a small provider? Or is it the major providers operating micro cell?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not that they deregulated or that they've cut down on the size of the operator and now there's 50 operators that want to do it. It's that there's the same fixed operators and there's just more gear to put up.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Okay, my understanding is that the legislation allows them to attach an antenna system to an existing monopole, light pole, traffic signal, sign pole, or utility pole, unless the utility pole is owned by a municipal electric utility, a municipal electric utility, not Toledo Edison. Or, and that you can have multiple wireless service providers on an existing pole, and but we can charge them a fee of $250 per antenna, is my understanding.
A review fee.
Right, but we need to adopt a review fee of $250 per antenna. We probably need legislation to do that, right? We don't have that in our code currently.
If we're going to pursue the lawsuit, I think we can.
Well, we ought to put it in place now, because you may not get this TRO. In fact,
is the $250 annual or is it a one-time review?
It's a one-time review.
And how are they going to power these things?
I don't know.
I think the plan is that
their power. We have either a electrical panel at ground level or a box up on the pole attached to the pole. It powered because it has to be metered because Edison's not going to get free power.
That's for sure.
I feel like Maggie Adams has mentioned this to me and that they're seeing these boxes beginning to surface on their poles and it's causing some discomfort for them.
It's a challenge.
You know, quite apart from any of that, it's offensive to me that the legislature operates in the way that it does. This is not new right, but I think that it's important, and the mayor's point is the most important, that they can't trample our home rule rights without some sort of pushback. So, yeah, I would encourage, I'll call the question if you'd like. I'd encourage us to approve this.
There is legislation to do it, ordinance 42,017. I don't think it's been read yet.
No.
Mrs. Westfall.
I'd like to introduce ordinance number 40-2017. All members having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, authorizing the director of law to initiate the filing of a lawsuit against the state of Ohio regarding the unconstitutionality of the amendments to Ohio Revised Code Chapter 4939, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. We moved and seconded that ordinance number 40-2017 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 40-2017.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 40-2017 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 40-2017 is approved. We've already accomplished agenda item 9, so to go to the back.
Mr. Mayor, before we leave that, I would like to request that we prepare the fee legislation.
I can't disagree with that. That makes sense to me.
I would like to see that come forward, and I would ask the administration to consider addressing this with the Ohio Municipal League and consider our opportunities to affect a legislative change. That's a request. I really like the legislation is kind of our bailiwick.
I've met the new executive director, Kent Garrett, on several occasions now. I'm very impressed with him. Mark has also met him. I know he's got some business going with the Ohio Municipal League right now. We can both, well, at least I can. I'm not sure you're in a position to do that, but I can. And he is very responsive, and he knows how the system works down there. He has energy, so we'll go to work on it. All right. We're ready. Let's go to the back page of our agenda. We're up to agenda item 10, committee reports. Mr. Hanum, you had a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting starting tonight at 6 p.m. in these council chambers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had, we did have an Annexation Zoning Committee meeting this evening to discuss what had been referred to council was proposed ordinance number 63-2016 regarding a moratorium on marijuana, on allowing marijuana, preventing marijuana cultivation, processing, or sale in the city, and proposed ordinance number 31-2017, adult daycare centers in Sylvania. We first discussed the medical marijuana proposal and determined there was no current support on council for the ordinance calling for a moratorium. We had an extensive discussion of the regulatory requirements governing medical marijuana in Ohio and issues surrounding that, and it was agreed that in the event that any member of council, or should the administration believe that additional regulation beyond that provided for in the state's regulatory program was necessary, that they would bring legislation forward. We also discussed tangentially the potential benefits of adopting a special use requirement for any commercial agricultural activity in the city of Sylvania going forward. We then moved from that discussion to a discussion of adult day service facilities in the city, and it was noted actually in our last meeting, but again in this one, that there is no current state regulation of adult day service or daycare under Ohio law. We had a further discussion of whether to require a special use approval by council for adult day service facilities above a given size, rather council should impose any regulatory oversight as to the method by which, the method and conduct of the adult day service, or should we simply limit our regulation to the location of such activities? With that, we asked, request was made to the administration and the law director to research other regulatory schemes around the state. The law director agreed to share regulation from Maumee and Perrysburg, and council members were asked to consider where in the city they wanted adult day service to be conducted, and we agreed that we would reconvene to further address all those issues at some time in the future. And then we concluded the meeting. We adjourned the meeting. So the issue that we have two issues that I think are before council. One is the adult day service, which we agreed we would look at some future day. And now this, we're back to actively considering this agreement with the township. We don't have a, I don't think we have a specific time frame. We've given Leslie homework, and I think it's appropriate to give Leslie enough time to do this. And I think we probably want to wait at least a month before we schedule that hearing. And I guess the question I have is whether that we need to get back to the township sooner than the next 30 days.
No, I don't believe that's necessary.
Okay.
I think you should well consider it. They considered it for 3-4 months.
Then we have, then I would suggest that we schedule our next Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting for June 5th before our June. We have a hearing that night on.
We have three hearings
three
that night.
Three of them on that night, don't we? What time do we start?
6:30. And you're going to consider the mercurial change, the B5 classification, and also the SOMO zoning change.
I assume those last two will conduct in tandem.
That would make sense.
Right. And I think we'll do those first, and then we'll do the mercurial one, which I think will be interesting. I'm still not opposed to doing this on the 5th, starting at 6 o'clock. And well, no, I think Leslie's going to come back with nothing. The job that we've given her, she's going to find very, it's not her fault. It doesn't exist. It isn't out there. I've already done some looking. It's not her fault.
She's not going to bother now.
She's not going to find much, I don't think.
She's done time looking.
Yeah. Yeah, she did look, and you're not going to like the legislation from Maumee or Perrysburg. You're not going to find anything in statewide legislation. I did a little digging from that. Now, she's better than I am, and she's going to get a hold, and she has some resources I don't. But she's not going to bring you back the clear piece of legislation. So the issue is going to be if council does their job and actually has some thoughts about where they want to limit this. I am more inclined towards, and this is very un-Republican of me, but I'm more inclined to include a substantive requirement in if we're going to grant somebody the authority to conduct adult day service in the city of Sylvania, I would be inclined to require them to meet a basic statewide standard to do that. If that's the, and I think the issue that we have to wrestle with is, are we going to just say you can do daycare and B pros, B1s, B2s, B3s? We're not going to do them in B5s. Are we going to specify the specific areas that we're going to allow them, or are we going to specify the areas and include a substantive state requirement as part of that special use?
Mr. Hanem?
Yeah.
With no disrespect, we're trying to schedule the meeting, so could we maybe focus some of this important discussion for conversation during the meeting?
Thank you.
Yeah, I was trying. I'm sorry, I was defending Leslie. Well, it depends on who you're going to be able to call. I mean, I would think we would want to contact who I don't know who you have to contact to find this stuff. Okay. I'm fine with doing it sooner.
I'm not concerned whether it's May 15th or June 19th, and I'm not a member of the zoning committee, so, but I would just voice that I'd rather not have it June 5th. Okay. But I don't care if it's pushed further out, but I'd rather not see it on June 5th. I'd prefer not.
Okay, well,
I'm not on zoning, so
how about,
I don't know
how about May 15th at 6:45? Okay, so we're going to have a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting addressing adult daycare and the agreement with the township on May 15th. And we need somebody who can talk about where this income split came from at that committee meeting.
Homework.
Well, whoever negotiated
that was negotiated.
I don't know where that came from. I want to know where that came from and what the basis is for it.
Okay. There is a longer story than the document that you had.
I knew there was.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other committee reports to be made at this time? Or committee referrals? If not, that gets us down to our informational items. I do bring this one to your attention. This is a Touch a Truck Day. This is came to me via my granddaughter from Worthington, and the pictures of her having a wonderful time in a big event down in Worthington, all kinds of trucks from different utilities and the like. I brought it back to our service department last fall. They have responded very nicely. This will be a service department function only. Kevin, you care to comment on the scope of it?
No. Mr. Mayor, we have all the departments have stepped up. The police department will be there with a couple of their vehicles and fingerprinting for the kids. All of our departments have, trying to think of all the equipment. Our sewer back truck will be there. We'll have backhoes. We'll have jet trucks, we'll have bucket trucks, we'll have a stump grinder. Our departments have done things like cut sections out of fire hydrants so that kids can and adults can see how fire hydrants actually work. The departments have really latched onto this and are getting it set up to be a nice day. So, hopefully pray for good weather. But we're looking forward to it. We'll have some popcorn and slushies there for the kids and getting a couple food trucks in since it's through the lunch hour and that kind of stuff.
You know, I misread that.
Good day.
I was going out there earlier. I thought it said sushi.
Oh, okay.
Man, that's very
simple. Going high level.
Glad slushy.
That's the biggest thing for the kids right now, sushi. Okay. Anything, any other business? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we stand adjourned until our next meeting on Monday, May 15th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for your attendance.